Glad you're here this evening, and it's good to be together to study from the Word. Tonight in our devotional period, we're going to just look at a few verses from the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, where in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul gives us a lesson about sowing and reaping. We understand the way that life works, what you sow, you will reap according to the same kind. And that's also true when it comes to the lives that we live and our accountability to God. That what we do in this life will determine how things turn out in our future. Here in chapter 6, beginning at verse 7, Paul says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." You suppose there are people in life that think that I can live this way, and that is according to their own desires, enjoying the pleasures of life, indulging in sinful behavior, and that nothing bad is going to happen, and that everything will still turn out all right. There are even doctrines that would give people that notion that that would be okay. If I believe, for example, that once I was saved, nothing I did could change the condition of my salvation, no matter what it was, then why would I try very hard to resist the temptations? Why not, on occasion, if I wanted to, indulge in sin? Because if it's true that I'm saved and nothing can change that, then you see, I have sort of a freedom to do that, even though maybe it's not the best thing to do, but it won't affect anything. But you see, the reality is, what we do in this life determines how things turn out in the future. And of course, this epistle is being written to people who are saved, Christians. Those who have already been recipients of the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and their faith in Christ. So, God will not be mocked, he says. You cannot sow according to the flesh and reap the good things of the Spirit. It won't turn out that way, he says. You notice in verse 8, he continues, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." That's the way it has always been. We see so many examples in the Old Testament of individuals who were sowing according to the flesh. You even had righteous individuals who had, for the most part in their lives, sown according to the Spirit, but even their fleshly falls resulted in some reaping according to the same, the consequences of their sin. But beyond what sometimes goes along with sin in this life is the most fearsome thing, eternal separation from God, and that pit, that place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the thing that brings fear to the hearts of those who believe in what the Scriptures teach. That there is a heaven, but that there's also a hell. And that there are consequences to what we choose to do. If we choose to sow according to the flesh, we will of the flesh, he says, reap corruption. This corruption is the second death. It's a death that we cannot be raised from. The physical death of this life that everyone has to experience is a death that you can be raised from, and then you can go on to live forever and never be touched by death again. But the second death is one that will never be changed. So we have to remember that sowing and reaping, these are laws that God has put into place all around us to proclaim this truth to us, that as you live, so you will reap. But the other side of it is also true, and that's the beauty of proper choice and choosing to serve God, choosing to be faithful, choosing to turn from our sin. When we stumble on our journey toward heaven, we get back on track. We don't enjoy the pleasure of sin and just say, you know what, I'm going to just keep doing this. Or we get discouraged and we say, it's too hard, I can't keep going on. No, we resume our walk with God because this truth is also certain. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Everlasting life. There have been people traveling to work, expected it to be like any other day, but they didn't make it to work. Something changed, that they opened their eyes and they find themselves in a hospital. They don't even remember what happened. But disaster took place. Their lives were nearly lost. And we don't know how much time we have remaining in this life. But we do know that even though the uncertainty of this life is a reality, and that life can be over very quickly, be changed very quickly, that in that place, life is everlasting. There won't be near-death experiences because death won't be a reality anymore. It's gone. That's what we have. That's why we're told in verse 9 then, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." There's a lot of things, and Satan is crafty in this way, that he seeks to cause us to lose heart. Losing heart is getting discouraged. It's becoming to where we despair of life, of really any hope. Things get so hard that we don't see much brightness. It just all seems to be like it's just not going to work out. And we begin to doubt, we begin to wonder. But here's the reality. We will reap everlasting life if we sow to the Spirit and don't give up. We continue on. We don't lose heart, as he says. Falter in our faith to the point where we despair and turn away from God. If we don't let that happen, but instead we keep persistently doing the will of God, then what we can know is the season for reaping that wonderful harvest will one day come. But it will come in due season, when the time is right. There are those who've lived that life. They're still waiting. They're in paradise. They can't wait for the day that they hear the call of Christ, who will summon them forth from the grave, from paradise. And they will be coming with the Lord. And we who are here will be caught up to meet Him and them in the air, and we'll all be together with the Lord forever. If, as He says, we do not lose heart. So, as you journey through your own life, and you look back on the troublesome times, and you also know because of the reality of life that there are more ahead, that we have hope despite the hardships that we're going to face. And we know that even though there are dark days, there are also bright days. And that we can have wonderful hope and assurance, and we can have that certainty that no one can ever take from us, that the love of God will always be with us as we walk faithfully with Him. And that when we do stumble, we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ and we turn back to Him. And that He has told us He will never leave us or forsake us, so we may boldly approach the throne of God and find that help in time of need. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to turn to Him in obedience so that your sins can be washed away. It's through faith in Jesus, turning from sin and repentance, confessing our faith, and being baptized for the remission of our sins that we have that hope, that we begin the Christian life. But it's not a life, as we said, that we then have a guarantee of salvation. We can be saved, but we have to be faithful to Him. We can't turn aside. So if tonight you find yourself similar to the prodigal son who went away and drifted off, what did he do? He came back home to his father. And you can do that tonight. We would be happy to help you as we stand and sing.